This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Happy Waiver Wednesday to all of you who celebrate.
Should I be closing my tabs here of transactions on Yahoo?
You want to talk it through? Why you spent what you spent? Why you did what you did? Let's talk about what you got and what you didn't get. Let's talk about your free agent offers that hit and that didn't. If you spent too much money, we'll be here to talk you down.
Your league is living under a rock if he is still available.
It's worth a flyer. It's one of those, if anybody's going to make that mistake, it's going to be me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the Home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey everybody, happy Wednesday. Let's do a quick shorts report. I'm wearing shorts.
And I don't think I've worn pants in a week and a half.
All right, Evan, shorts, pants.
I made the dumb mistake of wearing jeans today.
I don't think it's a mistake. It's, you know, it's starting to drift. The temperature's drifting. This is our way of telling you what you can wear today, depending on, you know, your job.
Given that it's also 6 o'clock in the morning,
true.
If we're wearing shorts now, then you're definitely going to want to be wearing shorts, I'm guessing, at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. 2 p.m. today, the high is 75, overcast, some rain today. I went shorts and T-shirt because I'm...
Me too.
I mean, this is also... This temperature, this good sleeping weather, this is good stuff. This is the transition into fall.
Yep. Windows open at night.
Absolutely.
With 3 blankets on over top because it's it's cold.
It's but
chilly.
It's just good to breathe the air. You know,
it's a little crisper and it's not
it feels like it's good to breathe. I don't know if there's science behind that, breathing cool air versus hot air. Just kind of feels like that.
Does the humidity drop in the fall too? That's a thing, right? I don't know.
Sure, yes.
But we love fall.
We do. Humidity's 80.
Could use it a little chillier.
Wait a minute. On the humidity. Yesterday it was crazy humid. 87% right now. And there was a thunderstorm overnight. I don't know if you got any of that or heard any of that.
I did not. Slept right through it.
Okay, well, there was at least one or two strikes / thunder where, this is going to sound strange, but one of them was so loud, I thought it could not have been thunder. I thought
it was like a car like
exploding. Something.
Yeah.
It was a lot. Yeah, it was crazy. So anyway, that was last night. That's my life. Okay. Something was so loud, I thought, well, that couldn't be thunder, which of course it was.
Did the house shake?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was waiting for the kids to wake up and get terrified because I was a little bit shaken.
Your mind went right to explosion.
Yeah. Yes.
My mind would have gone to like earthquake or something
okay,
like
sure.
that.
Okay, sure. It was that loud.
Okay.
It struck close. Anyway, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Big show for you today. We'll talk with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30 like we do on Wednesdays. Howard picks the Bills at 8 o'clock. Like he does on Wednesdays, and I was texting him. I said, it was 16-1, and what are we looking at now?
Or 17-0.
I mean, 17-0.
We talked about this, though. We don't want them to go 17-0, remember?
Yes, in training camp, we asked what would be better, 17-0 or 15-2?
And I think fans said 15-2.
That's right.
Yeah.
15-2 won the poll,
yep.
Which means if they lose a game, those people have to be relieved. Even if it's Baltimore, even if it's the Jets. You want...
Hey, guys, confirmed. You're not going to be undefeated going into the playoffs.
Yeah, you want 2 losses, the people that voted in that. Paul Hamilton checks in at 8:30 as the Sabres head to Europe. I've got a bunch of mentions, tweets, texts, all that about a Sabres preseason pledge because the Sabres are a wagon in the preseason here.
Mm-hmm.
Right down to their prospects. Everybody looks great. And they're off overseas.
They won their first 2 13-4.
Yeah, combined. That's pretty good.
So I think probably preseason pledge might be... In line. Nobody will remember. This is the whole synopsis with the NFL, right? Does anybody remember right now what happened in the preseason?
No.
We're not going to remember in 9 days what happened in the Sabres preseason.
This is funny. Let me try to remember what. Okay, the Bills played the Bears and got stomped. 33 to 6.
They did. Again, it's like it happened in 2008.
Yeah. Then they went to Pittsburgh, and Allen didn't play because it rained. And right?
Right, Allen that's exactly right.
Allen didn't play because it rained.
He was going to and then didn't.
And he also had a good joint practice. And Trubisky got hurt, and I have no idea if they won or lost that game. I don't know. I think they won because there was less freakout. But I do not know if they won or lost that game.
They won that game, but I don't think they scored a touchdown. You're talking the Steeler game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the third preseason game would have been Carolina.
Who did play? Okay,
Carolina.
Jordan Matthews caught a touchdown.
Yes, and I do not remember if they won or lost that game. This was a month ago.
Who was the quarterback that played? Actually, who were either of the quarterbacks who played in that game? There were two, right?
Probably.
Who played
those games?
Ben DiNucci. Ben DiNucci. Okay, I was trying to think of the other guy.
For Carolina?
No, for the Bills. He went like 11 of 11. Right? Didn't they have a guy in the... Anthony Brown. Okay, we can move on. I got to Anthony Brown, yeah. Who went like 11 of 11.
Whatever, thank
you. The preseason pledge.
Thank you for this reminder about the preseason pledge, because we often forget to revisit it 1 month later.
Yeah.
And man, that was a little bit of an eye opener to try and get smelling salts to try and remember. Ben DiNucci played for the Bills, and they lost the Bears with Caleb Williams, a couple of highlight reel plays. That game was 6-3 at the half or something stupid.
Yep.
Anyway, here we are, week 4, Bills Ravens, another primetime game. Stop me if you've heard that before. One more primetime game, then Sunday at 1, then Monday Night Football. And then we get to settle into a nice, cozy series of 1 o'clocks and, just regular games.
Yep.
Which is nice.
Getting a little bit of a routine.
Yeah. Before this one topic that's been going around the NFL gets away from us, the Monday night doubleheader. Did you like it? Because it's happening again this week, and there's plenty of reason to believe it's going to be maybe a regular thing. I hadn't thought about it too much. The biggest reaction we might have had on this station, this show, and I heard the afternoon show yesterday talk about this as well, was not wanting a split screen. Like, I just don't want a split screen. I want to watch my team's game.
Right.
Leave me alone, ESPN. You've got another channel. Like, leave me alone. I don't want picture in picture.
I think we did have people reach out too that it was also that way on the local channel.
Yeah. So no matter what, you were stuck with picture in picture on the Monday night game. That said, I did like it, and I would sign up for it every single week. And here's why. It's the kind of thing that once it was explained to me briefly in two sentences, I thought, oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Where would the Commanders and Bengals game have been if not at Monday at 8:15? What time would it have been on? Sunday at 1 o'clock?
But on ESPN?
No, it's that's the thing.
Yeah.
ESPN and ABC, they want another game.
Right.
Do you want them to create a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday? It's either going on another day, or it's just blending back into the fabric of Sunday at 1 or 4 o'clock. And if a game is basically pulled out of the slate of Sunday games that's like 8 games and thrown on a Monday night doubleheader, fine. I got a chance to see a lot more Jaden Daniels than I would have, even though it was up against the Bills game for a good chunk of it. The Monday night game, like Florio wrote at ProFootballTalk.com, that everybody hates the Monday night football doubleheader. Like, what's the hate? It's just a game.
It's staggered, too, so staggered. You can get a piece of both games.
And if you were looking to watch football on Monday night and the Bills go up 34-3.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone would have turned the game off at the half.
Yeah, you get an opportunity to just watch the other game, which was very competitive.
Right. Yeah, so last week was almost, I feel like, the perfect argument for why they should have a Monday night doubleheader.
Yep.
At least for the national, Well, even me. Like, the Bills game ended, and even maybe before the last drive, I switched to the other game, and it was a one-score game with 2 minutes left. And Jaden Daniels was I saw live Jaden Daniels throw an amazing pass that I wouldn't have otherwise seen.
And if there wasn't a doubleheader, you wouldn't have seen it.
I guess they could just put, right, like, their alternative would be what? That they would have a Sunday 1 o'clock game, but doesn't that probably go against agreements with CBS and Fox?
Yes.
Like, probably. No, ESPN can't do that. They can't decide just to have a 1 o'clock game
they could also,
that everybody gets.
The other thing is to what? Split them so they don't overlap. So one's at 6 and one's at 9. You could try that if you want to. But the overlapping doubleheader, it's staggered. Sunday at 1 and Sunday at 4. We already live lives where we watch multiple games at once, whether you have the ticket or not. Sometimes you're switching back and forth between Fox and CBS. And having two options always feels better than having one. That's normal for Sunday at 1. It's relatively normal for Sunday at 4:25.
This is why, by the way, I think they really continue to go to London more than anything.
The window?
Yeah, they could talk about wanting to grow the game in London, and that's fine, and they probably do want to do that also, but I think the real reason they love going over there is because it creates another TV window.
Yeah.
It's a TV show. Because the whole league is a TV show, and there's one way to get a game on at 9:30 in the morning that's easy, and it's have them go overseas to England because of time zone differences.
You and I watch a lot of Premier League. There are games at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m.
Their time, yeah.
Yeah, they're primetime games out there, right. And we have a game here. It airs at 1 p.m.
When does that start, by the way, the London games? It's got to start soon, right?
It's usually October, like week 5. For the Bills last year, it was week 5, right? It was the first weekend in October.
I miss those. I wish they were every week.
London,
I'm not going to lie.
London games?
I wish there was a London game every week. There, one 9:30 game. Sure. There are there only three this year?
No.
Are there usually more than that?
There's three. Then there's Brazil, of course, part of it. And then there's going to be another Munich game, I believe. Or is it Spain this year?
Right. They're moving
the
around.
International
in other countries,
games.
That's why.
Maybe it's not Spain. Maybe it's...
Well, they already played one in Brazil.
Right.
I don't know. They're playing one in Ireland or something. They're playing, here we go. Jets-Vikings in October at Tottenham. Then the next week, Jaguars and Bears. Then the next week, Patriots and Jaguars.
By the way,
yikes.
By the way, Jets-Vikings is maybe the best international game they've ever had. It's up there.
It's pretty good.
I mean, Chiefs-Dolphins was good last year.
All the other ones might stink. And then, there's another Munich game this year, Giants and Panthers.
Oof.
2025, they're playing in Madrid.
Okay.
That's why.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. The London, the international games. Okay. I was excited for, eventually we're going to get the London games that start up. We get another game in the window.
And you get Panthers,
let me
Giants.
Look it up. Vikings, Jets isn't bad. And they get Bears, Jags, Patriots, Jags, Giants, Panthers. Yikes.
I mean, you get Malik Nabers. It's exciting.
Yeah.
At 9:30 in the morning.
I guess. All right. Extra, it's all about TV.
Yeah.
I would enjoy the Monday night doubleheader. I think, let me experience it this week when the Bills are not involved. Because then you can really just flick back and forth. Again, that's why I don't need the picture-in-picture, though. If I want to watch the other game, I've got a phone. I can know what's happening in the other. Give me an update. Yeah, right? Tell me on the, give me a, during, between a play, not during a play, what they do. Hey, let's go back to Jay in New York, who's going to tell us what's happening in the Jets game. And then give me the update during a timeout. And, on ESPN, they do that. Oh, that game's close. Let me throw over to that game. I don't need both plays on the screen at the same time with only 30% of the TV even being used.
Right. How many channels does ESPN have right now? Because couldn't you go game one on ESPN, game two on ESPN2, and the split screen on another channel?
Right, alternate broadcast.
They do the mega cast where I've got Matthew McConaughey calling play-by-play. They've got enough channels for the national championship games.
The coach's film room.
Yeah, they've just got Saban a million out. Things. An online version, ESPN Plus. You want both games at once? We'll call that the ESPN zone. And like that, bam, you can have that one if you want it.
You can watch the game just on the Skycam now on those things. Yeah.
So they definitely have the avenues or the outlets to do all that stuff. But the Monday Nighter's happening again this week. What are the two games this week for Monday Night Football? I should have just known this before I brought this up, but sometimes I don't think of things ahead of time.
I'll look because I'm also going to want to see, is there another Monday night doubleheader the day the Bills play the Jets?
Okay, so this week it's going to be Titans, Dolphins, and Seahawks, Lions.
See, that's one where I like having another game because if you told me it was just Titans, Dolphins on Monday Night Football.
Yep.
I don't know about that.
The other doubleheaders are week 7, Ravens, Bucks, and Chargers, Cardinals. Those are two good games, I think. And then in week 15, Bears, Vikings, and Falcons, Raiders.
Okay.
So we got 5 different times where there are doubleheaders on Monday Night Football.
So Bills, Jets is a standalone.
Bills, Jets is indeed a standalone. Yep.
Okay. Good.
And that's the only other appearance for the Bills on Monday Night Football this year, unless they go to week 18, which they play New England, and I would not think that's likely, right? Are they close with the Jets? No, New England. The Bills close
New England,
yeah. They play New England 2 of their final 3 games.
There's supposed to be Monday night flex scheduling this year, though, isn't there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's only that final game like last year when the Bills played the Dolphins.
Gotcha.
Which I don't know if that makes it less likely. But again, the Bills close with the Patriots. It feels like that's going to be an unlikely candidate to be moved into that spot.
Yep. I would agree.
So here we are, you know, like Monday Night Football. It was fun. It was a show. The Bills.
How'd you like Steve Levy and Lewis Riddick, by the way?
And Orlovsky was on the broadcast,
and
Orlovsky,
right? And not having Aikman and Buck.
It was Chris Fowler.
Chris Fowler. Right, thank you. I liked having Orlovsky on the broadcast.
Yeah.
I like he does give you a level of analysis, a little bit of a different analysis than you'll get from most, not even most, every other TV guy in the booth. Like, just, I don't know. It's not like he's going super in-depth, you know, diving in on film during the game, but he is trying to give you a little bit of an extra layer than just let me pull out my book of cliches and like, oh, let's go chapter 3 for this one. Like, Orlovsky's giving you a little bit more.
Yeah.
So I liked having that booth. Over the Aikman Buck booth,
there is an element of, if you want to get to like the integrity of Monday Night Football, the whole concept is, it's one game, it's the music, it's the theme song, it's the spotlight, and now if you're one of two games, there's no doubt you're sharing a spotlight. I just don't know who really, I mean, people would probably care about that. I don't know if football teams care about that. Do they want the standalone spotlight? Because right now that's now Thursday and Sunday, in the weeks that. By comparison, Monday Night Football has two. But again, it's only 5 out of 18. So it's exposure, and the Bills put on a show like they have done. Josh Allen is Mr. Monday Night, fastest player ever to 25 total touchdowns on Monday Night Football.
Can he be Mr. Monday Night if he's also Mr. Thursday Night? Because I think he's undefeated on Thursday Night Football.
Mr. Weekday.
Mr. Weekday.
Josh Allen is Mr. Weekday. Let's go with that. He's unbeaten on Thursday.
He's never lost on a Thursday.
And he is the only loss on Monday, the opener last year against the Jets. Because they lost that game. That was Monday Night Football, unless in overtime. There might be another Monday Night loss in there. When do they lose the Titans?
Tuesday. So he's really bad on Tuesdays. Don't have him play on a Tuesday.
They did play on Monday Night, the one where Allen slipped.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that one, yes. Okay, there were two then. There was the Tuesday night COVID game against the Titans, and then the Monday night game that I was at, yeah, where he slipped at the end of the game.
So we Mr. Weekday, unless it's against the Titans.
Yeah, just not in the state of Tennessee.
Right.
Okay, we figured it out.
Exclusions apply.
He's really just pretty good all over the place. Right.
Not only is he pretty good, it is not even controversial right now to say he's playing the best of any quarterback in the league. People aren't even blinking. Right. I know in Kansas City, they probably sleep until January and don't really care about anything. But it's not even blinked at if you were to say, oh, he's playing better than Mahomes right now.
I was surprised to see the Mr. Bills hater, Nick Wright, was not dropping his, doesn't he have a Bills September champs banner?
He does.
That he comes out every year. He didn't do that yesterday.
It's a matter of time, isn't it?
Probably, but he was pretty forthright. Like, I think I saw a clip of him saying, like, no, Allen is playing the best in football right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's undeniable that he is playing. But the thing is, the guys that you would put in the same tier as him on a normal basis, this is maybe what's allowing Allen to kind of have that all to himself right now, is the other quarterbacks that are playing great are not guys you would typically think are great. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, really until last week, I guess, was this also. Whereas Mahomes is turning the ball over, and Burrow was really struggling, and Stroud just had a really bad game. Like, Herbert is injured and is playing like a game manager role. Like, all the other guys you would put on in the same stratosphere as Allen are all tripping. Allen is the one elite quarterback, one top quarterback that just, I mean, been pretty much flawless.
Yeah. This reminds me of a couple different things. One, Benjamin Solak of ESPN and formerly The Ringer, you know, talking about quarterback rankings. Like, everybody has a year or a half year where they pop up and look the best. And, oh, is CJ Stroud or is Jordan Love the next best quarterback in the league? And when you've got someone like Mahomes or Allen who've done it for 5 consecutive years, you have to kind of be careful not to get caught up in 8 games for Jordan Love. He's still really good, but 8 games versus 40 games is very different.
Right.
And so that's the first thing it reminds me of is Benjamin Solak always talking about the idea of the longevity or continuity. Hey, there's a body of work here for Allen. And the other is in the NHL, Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby was the best player in the league for like 14 years. And every year there'd be a, well, I mean, is it Giroux? No, it's not. It's that guy. It's always that guy until someone
until McDavid got drafted.
And now who is it? It's McDavid
every year.
Somebody might have more points than McDavid in a given year,
right?
And it's still going to be McDavid. So for Allen, there's a bit of a benefit of the doubt that's been earned here. And I've found some numbers on Allen that I found really interesting. It kind of drives home. We were kicking around this point yesterday. The evolution of this offense or the reimagining of this offense, you know, like it's happened. The yak that the Bills have wanted has happened. So it's not quite stat of the day. And it does get a little bit wordy on giving you the numbers, but just go with me on this and trust me.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bills right now, Josh Allen's air yards per completion is 4.5. That had never been under 5 before.
Mm-hmm.
His air yards, his completed yards had never been under 5. And it's under 5. So it's the lowest of his career. Yards after catch for Allen is above 7.
Mm-hmm.
That had never been over 6.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting a lot more yards after catch. And you've talked about how, you know, whether it's Davis and Diggs weren't those kind of guys, or I've mentioned it might be the system. What's it all add up to? 11.7 yards per completion. That is that is actually right in line with where he's been during good seasons.
Mm-hmm.
He had one with Daboll that's 11.9. He had another 10.8 and 11.5. What I'm getting at is, I was trying to think of the right analogy for this, and I don't know if I have it. But, Joe, there are a lot of different ways you could fly from Buffalo to Los Angeles. You could have a layover in Chicago, which is a short and then a long.
Uh-huh.
You could have a layover in Denver, which is longer and then shorter. Ultimately, you're going the same place. There are multiple ways to get there. And what the Bills' passing offense used to be was the long flight and the short yak. And now it's the short flight and the long yak. It's the same destination. And if, for me, this is really where it gets driven home. If you felt like the games that they've had remind you of the old Bills offenses, not the stuck in the mud, oh, something seems hard, why is this not looking right? If it, these last couple games have reminded you of that, it's because his yards per completion is back up near the top of where it's ever been. They're just getting there by taking a different route. And that's yards after catch from Shakir and yards after catch from even who caught one the other day that had a nice one?
Samuel had one the other day that was pretty good. Cook has a bunch.
Kincaid. It's just a different way to arrive at ultimately the same destination. And for me, going back 3 years when the Bills wanted to become a yak team, my reaction was, why? You don't have to be. You already throw the ball really well. And they did it, and they're getting to the same place in a different way, and in a way that might be more required now than it ever was because of the way the teams are playing, these shells and the way these defenses are asking you to beat them with a lot of small plays.
Here's a thought, though, that I have that might be if that path, there might be one difference in his stat line and maybe just their offense at the end of the day, which is if it's all the same, he ends up around 11 either way. Whether he's playing the, let me sling it down the field or let me throw it out in the flat and Shakir's going to take it for 7 yards. Or let me throw it to James Cook here in a dump off and he's going to take it for 10 yards. Isn't that going to mean less interceptions for him?
I think so.
By a lot?
I think it will.
Because when I think of his interceptions, this is why he leads the league in turnover since he entered the league. And he also is approaching the NFL record for longest streak without throwing a pick six. Why are those two things the same? None of his picks are near the line of scrimmage. They are all, Allen is trying to throw a hero pass 45 yards down the field, or he's trying to throw, how many times last year was it that deep, like 20-yard out route that he got picked on? Like those downfield passes, I think, I could look this up, but I think just, in, you know, naturally, those are going to give you more turnovers.
Right,
if he's throwing it in the flat to Shakir and getting the same result, I'm probably getting the same output without the interceptions.
Yeah. His two, right, like the last few years, his interceptions, 15, 14, 18.
Yeah.
Right now he's got zero. There's another stat that, as you mentioned, like this shorter passing offense should tick up, and it's way up, and that's completion percentage.
Oh, yeah.
His
yeah,
completion percentage, his career high in 2020 was 69.2. Right now he's at 75. He's a career 63% completion percentage quarterback. He is at 75% through three games.
Mm-hmm.
The ball is not hitting the ground. It's not hitting the ground. It's not finding its way to the other team as well. So, like, right now, if they wanted to build an offense that was, okay, we want all the productivity we used to get with maybe some more sustainability on drives and fewer interceptions, this is our formula. Right now, three games in, they have found that formula perfectly. Pretty cool to watch. 803-0550, our phone number, if you want to give us a call, 1-888-550-2550. Khalil Shakir's record-tying consecutive target streak. One more target that's a catch. 28 in a row.
I think that's the record for receivers.
Okay, receivers.
I think he's two away from the record for any player, and the running back. There's a running back that has the record.
Yeah, running backs don't count.
They're all dumb buffs.
803-0550, our phone number. We'll chat about it with you. Start getting ready for Baltimore. Talk about this Bills team, which is, in the hunt again, but not that.
Not hunt. That kind
not
of.
Not that. Hunt. They're in the hunt for the one seed. I mean, we're going to be talking about it. Kansas City, Buffalo, Pittsburgh. No, but Pittsburgh's defense is good. We'll get a break in. 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe here on Wednesday morning.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
On WGR.
The unselfishness of that mantra, if you will, is huge, right? I think that's a key aspect of really good teams across all sports, that unselfish nature. And I think that's what you're seeing on full display and what you saw last night. I think 10 guys caught balls. James and Ray and Ty all shared some carries and had their share of success on the ground as well. So, just a good, healthy dose of unselfishness.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The Bills loving their unselfishness right now. 2020, 13 different receivers caught a touchdown for the Bills.
Yep.
13. Will we get 13 this year?
Because
right now we got 10 or 11 in a game. 13 different players caught a touchdown in 2020.
All right. Let's see. They have how many already this year? Five?
Coleman
has one.
Cook
has one. Ty Johnson has one now.
Yep.
Kincaid has one.
Shakir
has two. Is that it? That's five?
Well, let's just go to who else would get him.
All right, so Knox. Knox will get one.
Oh, Mac Hollins has one.
Okay. Yes, he does. You're right. So six,
you'd
six
have, to get,
have one.
You'd have to get to MVS.
MVS would be seven, and Knox eight.
Curtis Samuel.
Nine.
We got four more we got to get in here. Did you say Ray Davis?
Nope. Ray Davis is 10.
10.
Did we say Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
I did.
Okay, never mind.
Who are we forgetting? Anybody in the receiver room?
How about... Oh, I was going to go to Quentin Morris.
Quentin Morris is 11. I need two more.
We're going to need a third tight end.
Dawkins. We got to get Dawkins in there.
Yeah, we might need an offensive lineman.
And listen, let's throw...
No, we need another receiver. We need a receiver to get in a game. You know, there's going to be... They have five receivers. Somebody, one of the five, is going to miss a game this year.
Brandon Codrington.
He plays cornerback, though, right?
All right. I'm trying to find 13 touchdowns.
You're putting him on offense. I'm not opposed to it.
In 2020...
Gilliam.
That's 12.
Okay.
In 2020, 13 different Bills caught a touchdown.
Give me Tyrell Shavers. They need one other receiver catching one.
All right.
One sixth receiver. And then I still need one more? Maybe you do need a lineman.
Think you do.
Allen so, catching one.
In the year, in 2020, when they did it, you ready for who the 13 players were?
Yeah, go ahead.
Gabe, Diggs, Beasley, McKenzie, John Brown, Kumerow were the receivers.
Okay.
Croft, tight end. Dawson Knox. Lee Smith. Reggie Gilliam.
Okay.
Running backs, Zach Moss and TJ Yeldon.
Only two running backs? No Singletary?
Singletary and Andre Roberts did not have one as of...
That was 13 that you just rattled
off?
That
was 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't even need a lineman in there.
Yeah, it would have had to be Andre Roberts or... This is an article from December of 2020 when the Bills tied the record with 13 different touchdown receptions in December. Matt Warren wrote that for Buffalo Rumblings. So,
did you say Allen?
I did not say Allen. He caught one in... When's his most recent touchdown catch?
He caught one in Arizona, I think, that year.
In 2020?
That was in 2020, wasn't it? So wouldn't Allen be one of them?
Yeah, you're right. He threw touchdowns to 12 players and caught one himself from Isaiah McKenzie.
He caught one himself.
He was the 13th.
He was... Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're missing somebody.
Listen, I will get Everybody Eats tattooed across my chest if they get to 14 this year. I'm not actually going to do that, but I think they got to get to 14.
Yeah.
13 different touchdown receivers in 2020. It's pretty funny. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
To get that far.
It's just kind of not too different from what it's always been.
It really, honestly.
It's really not that different.
It's not that different. Last year, they got a little bit more funneled than previous years, but I mean, how many receivers do they have on the team? Was it four?
There were games they lined up with only four active receivers, I think, like that were even in the lineup.
Last year it did get funneled a little bit more and more Diggs heavy, but the previous 3 years with Diggs, they spread the ball around plenty. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Allen will catch one.
What's more likely, Allen to catch one or a lineman to catch one? Probably a lineman to catch one.
The real question
is, are they
going
to want to put Allen in harm's way? Imagine he gets injured on a pass to him. The whole league is going, what on earth are you doing? Throwing him a pass like that. They did it in a rookie year. I think they ran a fade route to him. I'll find that play. I don't think they're going to throw him a pass.
See, you're saying they're not going to throw him a pass. I want to have a bet on who's going to be the one that throws it to him.
Well, it's tough. Like, they don't. Dable ran a trick play every other game, and
they haven't run
this was a thing about Dorsey, and Brady hasn't run a trick play to my eyes either.
I don't think so either.
These orbit motion plays as like trick plays. Those are just well-designed plays.
Yep.
Someone on another position is throwing a pass. That's a trick play, right?
Yes.
And they haven't done that. It's fine, right? Like,
yeah.
Just score points.
If they score points, it's fine.
But they are cool once in a while to have. Hey, Devin Singletary's throwing a pass against the Cowboys, or Beasley's throwing a touchdown pass against he had one at some point in time.
Definitely a way, you can score five straight touchdown drives and demoralize a team. Sometimes Eric Wood was on the afternoon show talking about how, when you're running all, maybe he's talking about running all over a team, like you feel like you can't stop that team, that's demoralizing. One other way to be demoralized, I think, is to have a trick play work against you. Right?
Yeah.
The Philly special. It's not just that they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. It's that they tricked them and they threw it to Nick Foles. Like, wow. We weren't ready for that. We got faked out. Trick plays are, they're a little bit of a dance on somebody's grave.
Yeah. Under Brian Dable, Cole Beasley had a touchdown pass. Isaiah McKenzie had a touchdown pass. John Brown had two touchdown passes in the same season, by the way.
They put it on tape once, and then they did it again.
Zay Jones had a pass attempt. I guess that doesn't count. And I guess maybe that's it. Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devin Singletary caught one. So, yeah. Keep him on your toes once in a while.
Speaking of Singletary, we've done a lot of checking in on former Bills. Maybe you watched Jordan Poyer with Miami. Maybe you've seen Tre'Davious White in L.A. He's playing for them a bit. Doesn't quite look the same. Maybe you're, of course, a lot of people are focusing on what Diggs is doing. Singletary, let me know if this sounds familiar. ProFootballTalk.com. Devin Singletary focused on ball security after two lost fumbles.
Oh, yeah. Not surprising at all.
It's kind of amazing Singletary has been able to stay in the league as long as he has, considering how much he fumbles. It was amazing he kept the job here as long as he did. And now he's playing in New York for Brian Dable. And Dable would know the entire time this guy's been in the league, he puts the ball on the ground.
Right. He has coaches, I guess, that are just like, you're fine. for whatever reason, he kind of skates on it.
He lost a fumble in each of the last two games.
Yeah.
He has 16 fumbles since 2019.
I know there was a point in time, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, where he had the highest fumble rate in the league with Melvin Gordon, who is no longer in the league.
Right.
So I would guess if I were to look it up, he's probably the most fumble-prone running back in football in the last 6 years. So that's not surprising to me at all that they're talking about him fumbling the ball in New York at all.
Yeah.
They don't really have a backup behind him, and they also paid him. So like they're not taking him off the field,
well,
I think.
But how much is it like anything else? Every player is going to have something they don't do well, almost every player. With Singletary, it's fumbles. What is it with James Cook?
Drops.
Yes, drops the occasional drops. Pass. Like, but what? Which of those two can you live with? A drop. I'll take a drop over a fumble all day. A drop is, was it first, second, or third down? Okay, that might be a problem. But a fumble is flat out giving the other team a chance to get the ball.
Is it strange with Cook that he has five pretty high-profile drops, which are most of his drops? They are all walk-in touchdowns.
Yeah.
He would have five more touchdowns had he just been... They're not hard, also. Like, that is maybe the thing with Cook, is there's a frustration of... Dude, these are easy passes you're dropping. The one, maybe this one was the hardest that he dropped on Monday. Of like, it's kind of in a bucket throw over the shoulder, right? It's a little bit. He's got to extend a little bit for it, but you're not laying out. You're not diving for this football. It's there. Allen put it there for you, and your linebacker that's covering you is 5 yards behind you. It's not a contested catch. It's a route. It's a pretty easy pitch and catch by NFL standards. And he had four of those last year that were same thing. There's really nobody around him. The ball is right there. Just catch it. That's maybe the most infuriating thing with Cook is his drops are on the easiest passes ever, and they are for walk-in touchdowns. And maybe his reputation as a player, maybe he'd have more respect. He's getting respect around the league, but would his profile be even higher if instead of, you know, in the last 2 years he's got seven touchdowns?
Oh, for sure. He'd be thought of as one of the best pass catching backs in the league.
He'd have 12.
803-0550.
Jeremy Zach and Moss Joe. Also starting, by the way, right now.
Was that?
Zach Moss also starting right now. You got a bunch of former Bills starting.
803-0550. The Sabres are having a nice little preseason. They're off to Europe next. Season getting started soon. And you know, maybe they'll be a fun team.
There's a new mural.
We got to talk about the mural.
The mural.
I'm ready to have hot takes on the new mural, which looks pretty good. So good for the Sabres to freshen that up. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Hey, the Sabres have shown off through their website the new mural that's coming to Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza. 27 players who wore the Sabres sweater from 1970 through the 2000s. No 2010s?
A couple guys bled into the 2010s a little bit, right?
I guess so. Pominville.
Miller and Vanek.
That's right. Through the 2000s.
There are three Navy uniforms on there.
Yeah.
By the way, that might be one of the coolest parts about the mural is the old mural was black and white, and this one is going to pop.
Yeah.
Like, it is royal blue with the black, and then you've got black and red uniforms in the front.
Hasek in the black and red.
As it should be.
It also
Look
has...
Look at how much more he accomplished in black and red than blue and gold. His banner should be in black and red.
It also has RJ's iconic Here Come the Buffalo Sabres there, like, on the sides of it, which is pretty cool.
Very cool.
Like that. Who's the most deserving that didn't make it? I know...
Yeah, because 27 got on.
27 players got on. I thought of you first when I saw Maxim Afinogenov making that mural.
Let's go, Sabres. What a job. You had to put him on there. They knew they had to put him on there. If you look closely enough, by the way, he's shining just a little brighter in the light than everybody around him.
Well, I guess my question would be, whatever.
Like, hero.
I don't have a problem with any of this. He did play 20 more games than Derrick Roy.
Yeah. 10 seasons.
Yeah, 10 seasons. He had fewer points. I mean, for points, Roy was above him. Roy had more goals and assists and points. I'm not going to get into plus minus, but
I think it's not just me too. Like, I think my gauge is fans of my generation, more people, Afinogenov was their favorite player than Roy.
Yeah.
Also, he has iconic. He's a famous playoff goal
that
Roy doesn't have.
Can I give you another name that again, like on games played, yeah. Jay McKee played more games than Max.
Okay.
With the Sabres. So did Miro, who's not on the right. Miro Chetan.
Miro's on there. He's next to a finning out.
McKee is not.
Nope.
The biggest snub is probably Zhitnik.
Okay.
Zhitnik played. You ready for this? Alexei Zhitnik is ninth all time in games played for the Sabres. Right behind Pominville.
And he was good.
He was good.
The whole time.
Girgensons.
Nah, get out of here. Stop.
He's 10th in all.
Nah,
Girgensons
stop.
Is 10th in games played.
No.
No, but Zhitnik, 712. Zhitnik is probably the biggest. Bill Height, also, 854 games played.
Are you able to sort by goals there?
Goals, sure.
Who's
got the most goals that's not on it?
I think I have a guess.
It's Miro. Oh, he is on.
No, he's on there. There are six goat heads, by the way. That might have been another thing. Maybe they didn't want it all to all be red and black, right?
Yeah.
So they only picked like, hey, let's do. There's 27. Let's pick six from a 10-year period that was pretty darn good.
Who's your guess for the most goals that's not on it?
Is it Skinner?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is.
They can't put Skinner. I don't think after a.
Although no, wait a minute. Skinner is not. Hold on a second. It's got to be Skinner because how many goals does Skinner have with the Sabres?
I could find it, but they were never putting Jeff Skinner on the list.
No, that's probably right.
It would have been funny if they had. He's well liked too, right? Like
he is.
In 5 years, maybe he could get on it. But yeah, all time goals not on the mural. Perreault, Martin, Andrejczyk. Where is Skinner ranked? Skinner might be a little lower than I thought. No, he's 18th all time. LaFontaine, Roy. Roy's above him. Donald Audette is above him also. So, okay, all right.
Okay.
Maybe doesn't get there on that. By the way, did you notice no slug representation on the banner?
No slug.
No slug. So, I guess that'll never have a comeback? The Goathead had a resurgence. Is the slug never going to have a comeback here? Used as like a vintage idea, uniform or something?
What if they...
Drury is wearing the alternate from the 07 season.
In the mural.
The slug is on his pants. So there is a little bit. It's right there over in the corner.
Yeah.
But that's it.
What if they'd won the cup in that jersey? It'd have to be up there. They won the President's Trophy in it.
Yeah. Do you know the reply I saw the most under their tweet about, hey, where's blank?
Yeah.
Eichel. But they were never doing that either. Same thing. Nobody from the drought was making it on there.
That's probably right. Jeremy and Joe, we'll talk with Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast, 7:30. More Bills, Ravens preview, chatter. Let's talk one seed. I said we were going to do it. Let's do it. Let's talk one seed for this team. That's coming up here on WGR.